We'll start the recording. Good evening, everybody. Thank you, Rabbi Markowitz, for all of your help, as always. Okay, everyone could read up on Rabbi Markowitz in the paper. Very exciting times. Shabbos, Jewish link.
Your mother's very proud.
Yeah, and she should be, and she should be, and Sarah's as well, I hope. Okay. Anyway, so it is Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech this week. And the main halacha from the Parsha, the one that we should really be focusing on, is tshuva. The Torah in this week's Parsha does directly address the concept of tshuva. Unfortunately, there's a concept of punishment. And haya ki yavo alacha kol ha-dvarim ha-eleh, ha-bracha ve-ha-klala. When all these things befall upon you, what's going to happen? The Torah says, v'ha-shevose le-vavecha b'chal ha-goyim, you're going to end up doing tshuva. And the Torah gives us a promise, v'shavta ad Hashem elokecha v'shamata b'kolo. So beautifully, the Torah describes, the Ramban says this is referring to us in Lavo, to events seemingly in the times of Mashiach, or at least leading up to Mashiach, but the Ramban writes it's talking about La'asid, times of the Messianic era. And the Torah then goes on to pasuk Yud Aleph as an encouragement, ki ha-mitzvah hazos, this mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, lo niflesi mimcha v'lo rechoka hi. Whatever the mitzvah is, it's not too far from you, it's attainable, it's a reachable goal. So what mitzvah is being discussed? It's a machlokes, but the Ramban says the mitzvah is talking about tshuva. When the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parsha is encouraging Klal Yisrael, ha-mitzvah hazos is talking about al-ha-tshuva, because we can all do tshuva, and the Ramban famously says, mitzvah sheyitzave osano la'asoskein, where there's a big yeshiva shahak, is tshuva, one of the 613, what's the mitzvah, is vidwa the mitzvah, it's a classical sugya in the yeshivas. So the Ramban here is a classical source where he says black on white on the Torah, that tshuva is a commandment, it's a mitzvah, it's an obligatory commandment seemingly to do tshuva. And here, v'ne'emra b'lashon ha-benoni l'remoz b'havtacha ki asid ha-davar li-yoskein. So the Torah does not phrase tshuva as a commandment, like thou shall do tshuva. Rather, the Torah says that we will do tshuva, alluding to the fact that there will be a time in history where Klal Yisrael, quote-unquote, gets their act together and does tshuva. So in addition to the obligation, there's also a prophecy guaranteed that we will do tshuva leading up to the times of Mashiach. And there's a larger discussion about that. Okay, very nice. So that's our segue from the Parsha into the mitzvah of tshuva. And this evening, I would like to explore maybe a more sensitive topic in tshuva, and that is the different levels of tshuva. So on a very basic level, we are familiar with the fact that if one regrets their, you know, averos, they resolve to not do them again, and they confess, they have done tshuva, shkoyach. But what really is the main halacha that we're going to try to respond to tonight is the Rambam writes that even averos that you've already done tshuva for, you should do tshuva again. So logically, right, what's the point of that? Right, if we believe that Yom Kippur wipes us as a clean slate, which we do believe, and last year, so if I did an avera before Yom Kippur, so I did tshuva, Yom Kippur cleaned my slate, so why would I need to do tshuva again this year? That seems very unnecessary. So Rabbi Weintraub, what do you think?
Well, David HaMelech says, V'chatasi negdi samit.
Very good.
So it's true. It does give you a clean slate, but only on the condition that you remember what you did and the tshuva therefrom.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. Now, you are right. The Rambam does quote a pasuk, and seemingly you could just stop there, that there is a, you know, mentioning on the Torah of it, and you don't really need to clarify. I mean, if the Torah says it, the Torah says it. That being said, I think there is room for, drush, or maybe we'll say lamdas, and the concept might be that there are different levels of tshuva. And maybe last year I got, a pass, and as opposed to a pass-fail grade, but maybe this year I'm going to maybe up my pass to a B-, and maybe the next year to a B+, and so on, so forth. And we could argue this evening that there are different levels of tshuva. Now, it's not such a chiddush to say there are different levels of tshuva. Black on what we know that there's a concept of tshuva meyira, at a fear of God on a lower level, the tshuva me'ahava on a higher level. But this evening, let's focus on sources related to the different levels of tshuva. Because this Motzei Shabbos, Bezras Hashem, we will all start slichos It is the time to start looking inside, to introspect and involve ourselves with self-correction and being really honest with ourselves, our actions. And let's try to do tshuva perhaps this year on a higher level than we've ever done before. So moving back into the Makoros sheet, so we just did source one and source two. Source three is a very deep source. Says the Rambam Hilchos, tshuva al tomar she'en tshuva ela me'aver she'esh behen ma'aseh. Don't say that we only need to do tshuva for those sins that involve an action. Kigon znus v'gezel v'gneva. So you might think that I only need to do tshuva if I wronged someone using my body. No, not true, says the Rambam. Ella, rather, k'shem she'tzarech adam la'shuv me'elu, just like you need to do tshuva for bad actions, kachu tzarech l'chapes b'deos ra'osi. What do you need to do? You need to also search for deot ra'ot. Now, when the Rambam uses the word deot, he means midos, which means you need to look inside yourself and ask yourself, are my midos up to standard? And you need to do tshuva from what? B'lashuv min ha-ka'as, if you're angry, u'min ha-eva, if you're jealous, u'min ha-kina, kina is jealousy, eva is extreme anger. And what if you're what? Miridifus ha-mamon, if you're money hungry, v'ha-kavod, right? You're always looking to get honored, miridifus ha-machalos, if you're chasing food. These are not actions that are inherently wrong, but they are midos that are, the Torah does not want people to waste their time and to live for buffalo wings and beer watching the NFL. Yet we can all very much easily relate to such a thing. So the question is, what are we doing that we should stop? Because listen, if the buffalo wings are glatt kosher and the football game is glatt kosher, come on, Rabbi, do I really need to do tshuva? And the answer is not so clear. It's not so clear that you do, right? Because if someone is a good boy, they're going to not miss a minion, and they're still going to manage to eat a nice meal and watch a good game. So that's not inherently usser. So the question we're going to have to focus in tonight is, well, what about something that I do should be tweaked? And ka'as is a great example, right? Because I would imagine that no one can honestly say that they didn't get angry at someone this year and then regret it. Right? Sometimes it's good to get angry in, you know, limited circumstances where, you know, or at least pretend to be angry to make a point, let's say for lessons of chinuch or things along those lines. But the Rambam says that you should fake being angry. You shouldn't actually get angry, not for now. So we need to ask ourselves, is there something in my personality that needs to be improved? Ooh, ooh, ooh. And that already leads us to a deeper level of tshuva. Because I remember someone in the Shomrei Torah community was telling me that he gets these, we'll say, inappropriate texts, right? You know. Unfortunately, there are all these scams and all that, who knows what. And he was laughing at it with me. He thought it was, here he was, you know, in the 70s, and he thought it was comical. So for someone like that, he is not tempted to sin with his body, right? So yet there is a concept of being tempted to sin somewhere else, right? In your mind, in your personality, there are character flaws. And this is what we're discussing this evening. So let's go on the sources. Here we go. So in this week's Parsha, the Torah describes a little bit of a vague scenario. He says that, no, there's going to be a guy who hears about the curses and is not threatened by them. He's going to hear the curses, azot. And he'll bless himself in his heart. Shalom, I'll be fine. Ki b'shrirus libi eilech, I'm going to walk with the, you know, freedom of my heart. L'ma'an sefot harava et hatzme'a. In order to add on to the satisfied the thirsty. It's a very ambiguous pasuk, an esoteric even pasuk. What does it mean? Who's the Torah addressing when it says that this person will add thirsty onto the satisfied? It's a very important Ramban. What does it mean? I don't know, logically, I don't want to like take a guess. What the Torah means, pashup shot, right? Isn't that a funny thing to say? That you're being criticized for adding on satisfaction for adding on thirst onto the satisfaction. What does it mean? You're adding thirst onto satisfaction. Oh, I saw a Dr. Rubin unmute himself. I get very excited. Yeah, Stuart, yeah, what do you have to say? What do you have to say?
Lawrence and Hedgen has many, many patients in that passing.
Very good. So Stuart says, you got to look up the Torah to me, and man will stem. I like that. So we're gonna show the Ramban's pshat, though. The Ramban says as follows, that what does it mean to be satisfied, harava? It means that you don't have a temptation to sin. And what does it mean to be thirsty? It means you have a thirst for taiva, for your, you know, we'll say desires that are inappropriate. So what does it mean to add thirst onto the already satisfied? It's like this. Vatamki nefesh ha'adam harava. The nefesh, your soul that is satisfied, she'einenem mis'avel dvarim haraim la. Your soul does not have an urge to do things that are bad for it. Your soul does not want to do inappropriate things. Ka'asher tova b'livo k'tzas ha'taiva. Uh-oh. So what happens when you have a little bit of an urge? You don't really want to do it. By nature, you don't want to sin. V'hu yamale taiva. So what happens if you have a little bit of an urge and you feel that urge? Az yosif b'nafsho taiva yaseira. You're going to want more of it. So it's like the beginning of an addiction. You say, listen, I know smoking is bad for me. I have a little bit of an urge to try it. That's normal. So you try one cigarette. And now after you try one cigarette, you're going to want more cigarettes. And all of a sudden, you're going to add thirst onto the already satisfied. Meaning what? Smeya me'od, you're going to be very thirsty, so to speak. You're going to want more of that thing that you tried the first time. Fascinating insert of the Ramban. You're going to actually desire things that you never wanted originally, that was never part of your goal. You didn't want those things. Wow.
That means the Yetzer Hara will never get old.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And what was it? 2 weeks we spoke about the Yetzer Hara, and specifically not outdating it. We spoke about the significance of not leaving the Yetzer Hara as in Europe. That was the lashon I used 2 weeks ago. So you're 100% right. And by the way, anyone who's listening to this, not live, but on YU Torah, I do post the Makoros on the website. So on the YU Torah app, you cannot access the Makoros sheet, but on the YU Torah website, you can see the attached Makoros sheet. Public service announcement. Okay, so very good, Rabbi Weintraub. And the Ramban then brings it. All right, so yeah, thank you, Dr. Ruben Shlita, for reminding me of the Gemara Sanhedrin. I don't know if any of those Pshatim and Masechah Sanhedrin are more in line with the Ramban. My understanding is that the Ramban is seemingly speaking more as a Parshan here, but it could be that it's just an elaboration on a Gemara in Sanhedrin. I'm not sure. So in essence, what we just saw is the Rambam says you have to do tshuva for your midos, which means even if you're squeaky clean, you didn't do any averos with your hands this year, you still need to do tshuva for, you know, anger or, you know, pursuing food, stuff like that, or wanting kavod, not living by Torah values. And the Ramban of the Sefer Parsha speaks about the very sneaky Yetzer Hara, where things that maybe weren't even normal to you years ago, why are they normal now? So I'll give you my personal mashal. And I'll tell you my personal quandary. My Rebbe growing up is Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky. The man changed my life. My high school Rebbe, I hit it off with him in my 8th grade interview. I've been close with him ever since. And the reality is that he is a Talmud of Rav Mordechai Willig. And I myself am a Talmud of Rav Mordechai Willig. I went to Moresh HaKolel for 2 years and I went to YU under Rav Willig. And Rav Willig is anti-coffee. Now, not lehalacha. He doesn't think it's usher to drink coffee. But he thinks that I remember him speaking about this in Smicha. He says that if you start drinking coffee, you're going to think that you need it. Now, okay. I was always a proud Talmud of my Rebbeim. And like Rav Willig, who thinks that you shouldn't have any alcohol, even on l'chaim or whatever, I was always like squeaky clean. No booze at my wedding, you know. But when I started to date, I needed coffee to get through morning seder, right? Stuart, now how am I going to get through a 3-hour morning seder and type up Rav Meir Twersky Shir and in English and Hebrew or who knows what and be coherent and sound like a mensch on a date, more importantly. if I don't drink coffee. So I started drinking coffee when I was in YU. And one person even called me out on it. They saw me drinking coffee in YU, and they said, I thought you're like a Rav Willa guy who doesn't drink coffee. So what could I say?
Don't get too down on yourself. Rabbi Alpert, Echad Tzadik Lebracha, sat with his coffee every single morning.
So very good. I also figured out that Rav Torsky Shlita is human when I saw him drinking coffee. I had not seen Rav Meir Torsky eat or drink anything for many years. I was very close with him, still am. And it was the morning after Slichos, like what would be this Sunday morning, he had a cup of coffee. So I was like, wow, it's true. He does eat. I don't know if he went to bed that night, but he drank at least coffee. And I also about Rav Nissen Alpert, once they ran a program in YU for the Rosh Yeshiva to eulogize the previous generation's Rosh Yeshiva. So it was Rabbi Ganak gave a eulogy, a hesped, about Rav Nissen Alpert Zatzal. And he said that on Sundays, Rav Nissen Alpert used to watch a little bit of the football games. He was makbid to chill out a little bit on Sundays to watch a little bit. I don't know if he watched all four quarters or whatever. But ultimately, he was known to be more, quote-unquote, normal. Yeah, so again, Rav Willig has a unique shita. I did try to abide by it. But what became was my normal was coffee, right? And every year I kind of ask myself, should I try to break the habit of coffee? And I say, no, I need it. It helps me get through the day, especially teaching. I need to be patient with my Talmidim. When COVID-19 hit, it was very hard for me to be patient and not angry with my own children and my own home. We were all cooped up all over each other, Zoom this and balancing Zoom and all that stuff. And I remember being machped to have two cups a day. It was actually ironically a hakpada, meaning I said I need to take care of my patients. If I don't have two cups a day, I'm going to be more easily angered by my kids by 5 p.m., And I need it. It wasn't a joke. And that is my chumrah since COVID-19 to have two cups a day. So I don't think I need to clap al chet for these things on Yom Kippur. But I'm giving a somewhat light example, or very light example, as a springboard to help us think about something that maybe is very normal to us now, but maybe shouldn't be so normal. You know, for example, when we haven't been going to shul on Shabbos during COVID, so maybe that became a little bit too normal. And now when shul is open or, you know, half open, and again, obviously, if you think it's a risk to your health, there's no question. At the same time, though, there is a question to say, well, maybe it's just a little bit too normal for me not to go to shul. And even if there are no health risks, well, it's just, it became the norm. And that's also not okay. So again, obviously, if someone's health is compromised, or even if you're going to be worried about your health and you're not going to be thinking about tefillah, I'm not advocating anyone to make themselves uncomfortable. At the same time, I think we need to ask ourselves, is what's normal now normal? And always questioning what should be normal and what shouldn't be normal. It's a very powerful Ramban that, again, speaks to a higher level of tshuva. The Ramban's not saying to klap al chet because you stole. The Ramban is saying, well, why did you get addicted to a habit that you never used to do? You know, and that can be interpreted on many, many levels, whether it's a formal sin or just a bad habit. And even my coffee example. Okay, so the minhag is to start slichos this Motzei Shabbos, and we know there is a requirement to have a minimum of 4 days for slichos. Why? Why 4 days? There are many reasons, but the Mishnah Berurah says another reason. But over time, shekavu dalad yamin. Why? Shekein matzino bekorbanos. When it comes to a korban, shetuunim bikor mimum. Dalid yamim kodim hakrava. If you're to bring an animal as a sacrifice, you need to inspect the animal for 4 days before you bring it. Ubechola korbanos beparshas Pinchas k'siv hikraftem ola. Uberosh Hashanah k'siv v'asisem ola. L'lamed sheberosh Hashanah yasa adam atzmo k'ilu makiv es atzmo. We are compared to korbanos ourselves on Rosh Hashanah. And in the same way that an animal needs to be inspected for 4 days, so do we, the Korban of Rosh Hashanah, meaning we sacrifice our sins, we sacrifice our temptations, etc. And therefore, that requires a minimum of Dalet Yamim, Levaker, Kol Mumei Chataso V'Lashuv Aleihem. Wow. So if we are like an animal that we brought up as a Korban to some spiritual degree on Shabbos next week, so at a minimum, we need 4 days to inspect ourselves. And that means if we just say slichos, by the way, and we don't take the time to apply the slichos to our own personalities and our own nature, that means we're missing the point of the slichos. Right? The whole point of the slichos is to help us self-reflect and improve our ways. If we're just saying slichos as fast as anything else, just to get to work on time, that's not the concept. Again, it should be noted that everyone in this shir has my haskama and my bracha. So if anything sounds particularly like harif or musri, just assume I'm talking to someone who's listening to this on YU Torah. Okay, Alvin, I'm not talking to you. Okay, is that clear? Alvin, you're good in my book. Okay, you guys. You know, I'm not used to like giving musr, outside of high school kids at least. You know, the high school kids love it. So my goal is not to teach musr. My goal is to teach halacha right now. And the halacha is that there's a requirement to do some self-introspection this time of year. So this is usually what Dr. Karp says, like, Rabbi, why are you apologetic? Like, people need musr. Like, say it like it is. I know. I hear you loud and clear, Adam, even though you're muted. I know that's what you're thinking, Adam. I know. All right, because he's a highly religious man. Highly religious man. So, vihine kol elu. You know you like that, Adam. You know you do. Vihine kol inyan elu inyanim osim hakol isim ato. Oh. So we know that we have simanim, we have the beets and the fish head. Anyone have a head of a whatever on Rosh Hashanah? Anyone into the simanim? Yeah, Robert, what does your family do on Rosh Hashanah? What do you guys do?
I'm partial to Rimonim.
Rimonim, okay. Yeah, now Robert, do you do any of the funky stuff on Rosh Hashanah night? You're muted.
At my in-laws, they had the head of the fish.
Yeah, my in-laws also. Yeah. What's good is that if you have a mother-in-law like me who brings the head of the fish to you, that's a big chop. So, yeah, so I still get the perks of being like a newlywed-ish. You know, I'm celebrating my 8th anniversary in December, but I still benefit from like my mother-in-law doing basic errands for me sometimes. It's a great thing. Highly recommended. Anyway, so the idea is that what's the best simon of all? So you have a head of a fish, shkayach. Well, you know what's a better simon, says the Mishnah Berurah? You know what's a better simon? To not get angry. Don't get angry. That's also a good simon. He says all of these simanim are le simon tov. V'lachen pshita sheyizar me'od shelo yichos b'yamim ha'elu. Don't get angry during these days. Milavad godel ha'iser k'dei sheyeh le simon tov. Right? So besides the fact that it's usher to get angry, well, at least don't get angry as a simin tov. So there is a mashkiach in YU who grew up very close to my home. His parents are still here, Rabbi Eli Bacon. Right? You guys know the Bacon family, right? They're around town, right? I'd imagine they're, Peter's nodding his head. You know, I'd imagine they lived in Fairlawn well before I was born. And the idea is that Rav Eli Bacon said that one man once encouraged his wife to go to Kol Nidre instead of him. One of them needed to stay home, and he volunteered. He's because halachically, Kol Nidre is really not such a big deal, ironically, even though it's a very dramatic episode. And he told his wife, you go to Kol Nidre, something like along those lines. And he said that was like a siman tov. He had the best year of Shalom Bayis because of that. That because he had encouraged his wife to go to Kol Nidre, and he stayed home on Yom Kippur evening. He stayed home and let him to watch the kids who were sleeping, whatever. He said that was a siman tov. That from then on, he felt like his whole Shalom Bayis that year was tremendously enhanced. So again, the Mishnah Berurah is saying, okay, it's nice to have a head of a fish that we should have, you know, the rosh v'lo lezanav, or he should have, you know, carrots to be marbe, you know, piravira, whatever it is. But it's also a good siman to like be a better person. It's a little bit of a harifa from the Chavetz Chaim, always good. All right, so as we try to conclude the evening and try to kind of summarize, the idea really is that tshuva needs to be a transformation on a deeper level. Look how the Rambam phrases it. Maya tshuva, what is tshuva? Shiaz v'achote chato v'yasiru m'machshavaso. You really remove from your thought, v'yigmor belibo shelo yaseu od. Meaning the Rambam saying, get out of there. And that's what I said earlier. What does it mean to do tshuva this year on a sin that you've already done tshuva for? Because maybe you did tshuva on it last year, but it's still a little bit part of you. So get it out of you. It should be far removed. And then look what the Rambam says. Kol misvad b'dvarim v'lo gomer b'libo la'azov. Right? So if you just do vidu, you say, I regret doing the sin, but you don't actually resolve to change your habits. Hari zedome l'tovel v'sherz b'yado. Right? It's like going to a mikvah by holding a bug. Sheira tzvila mu'elislam. Right? The mikvah doesn't purify you because you're not leaving the sin. So according to the Rambam, what is sin? Sin is when you actually change. where you resolve not to go to the mikvah while holding a tummy bug. I want to become different. And that might mean, okay, obviously I would never do something wrong. But what if I could actually become someone who's less angry? What if I could become more patient? What if I could take on new learning goals? What if I could never miss a minyan for Maariv? What if I could really change things that I never thought to change before? It's an unbelievable idea, tshuva, to really, really change. And this I wanted to say a little bit homiletically as well. It might be the underlying reason besides for the following halacha. Shliach tzibur tzarech sheyeh hagun. If you're a chazan, you need to be a good boy. Vezu hagun sheyu reikon me'averos, free from sin. Vishalo yotza olav shemra afilu bialduso. And you never had a bad name, even when you were young. What in the world does that mean? So let's say I'm a rabbi. But when I was 15 years old, let's just say I wasn't the best kid in my grade. Let's say hypothetically, right? So I can't be a chazan. Halachically, we don't really paskin like this. But what's the issue with me having been a bad when I was young? What's the issue? What's the issue with that? Again, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Afilu nisbar lanu she'asa oz tshuva." Even if we know that the guy did tshuva al zeh. Afilu hachi ein limnos lechatchila l'shliach tzibur. He should not be shliach tzibur. What's the pshat? It's a very, very harif halacha. Meaning what? Because I did a little bit of foolish things in high school, I can't be a chazan, right? Because I have a little bit of a blemish in my, you know, radar on my, my resume, my spiritual resume. I can't be a chazan. So the Rav explained this halacha that you can't do tshuva gemura, right? Meaning when now that you're older, you're not as tempted to do this, and so you can't do tshuva gemura. Interesting essay there. It's found in Harari Kedem that you can't ever do tshuva gemura because you can't do tshuva now to this, whatever. But that's not the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says even if you did tshuva as a kid, it's still not good. So I thought you could say maybe b'derech drush, maybe not b'derech pshat. What you find sometimes is that people do tshuva, and maybe when they were younger, they used to do things that they would never do again, or they would never want their kids to do, or they would never raise their grandkids to do. But you know what they think back? They think back to the good old days. They think back to the good old days. Now, again, if a Baal Tshuva thinks back, you know, lobster, that was really good. When I used to eat lobster, it just tasted very good. I'm not talking about that guy. That's okay. To say that lobster tastes good is not a bad thing. But someone who doesn't regret those errors fully, maybe that's why he can't be a chazan. Again, I'm not saying halacha l'maaseh. But if someone was bad, he made a few mistakes in high school, right? And now that he's older, he says, oh, those mistakes in high school, those were high school mistakes. I.e., he doesn't feel like it was wrong, meaning it was high school, whatever. He doesn't really regret it. So that I've seen sometimes. That I've seen sometimes when people almost brag about their old self. They're very established now and they're very far from that. But they look back to the sin and they don't look at it as an enemy. They look at it as almost like an ally. Like, yeah, I'm me today and I was me at age 15. And like, you know, we know each other. That 15-year-old self and me, we know each other. I wouldn't do that again. But I perhaps that's the reason behind this halacha. Stuart, does that make sense? What do you think?
Well, someone who's Baal Tshuva, you know, separated from an Avera, is not supposed to brag about the Avera that they did.
Right.
Because when somebody sins against the king, right, and the king lets them off, right, that's more I talk to them, right, lets them off, then they certainly aren't supposed to brag about it. They should
right.
be quiet.
Yeah. I hear that. So I thought maybe you could say that's shot behind that halakha, that maybe the reason why someone did, you know, sins back in the day should it be an ideal chazan is because he never fully left that in his personality. You know, he doesn't really regret it to the degree that he should. He kind of looks back and it's like the good old days. That being said, we'll conclude with a more uplifting approach to a sinful past with the Rav. We know that there's a concept of transforming your past into a mitzvah. Amar Reish Lakish Gedola Tshuva Shizdono Nasa Kishkagos. Right? If you do tshuva, there's a good news. Your intentional sins get knocked down to unintentional sins. Wait a minute, Reish Lakish actually says something even stronger than that. That how great is tshuva? Shezidonos, nasas, lokus, chuyos. That if you do tshuva, your intentional sins can actually get transformed into mitzvos, right? Pita is a pretty good deal, right? You ate lobster, you do tshuva, and eating lobster becomes a mitzvah. That's a pretty sweet deal. So what's the difference? Kan me'ava, kan me'yira. If you do tshuva me'ava, your sins turn into mitzvos. If you do tshuva me'yira, your sins get knocked down from intentional sins to the madrega of unintentional sins. So the Rav explained how this works. What does that mean, that your sins can turn into mitzvos by doing tshuva me'ava? So Rav Soloveitchik and Alat Tshuva, page 176, it's a much longer piece there, but I gave you a little snippet over here. He says, such a beautiful idea, that there are two Bali Tshuva. He says there's someone who deletes his past, and there's someone who uses his past to enhance his personality. So I would put myself in that category. I wouldn't call myself a Bali Tshuva, but let's just say there are pieces of my personality that maybe were not necessarily being channeled towards Torah and mitzvos that I now channel towards Torah and mitzvos. So again, I never channeled them towards Averus Mamish, but I feel like everyone in my generation is somewhat of a Baal Tshuva. You know, it's pretty rare to grow up, I would say, in my age, it's very rare to grow up in a home that you want to raise your kids in. I would say it like that. Not that anyone's parents, Chas v'Shalom, are like bad, but there's let's say, more often than less, somewhat of a gap. It's just somewhat of a difference between the generations. It's a post-Israel versus not post-Israel, whatever. And Baruch Hashem, there's always a good relationship between parents, and you know, nothing awkward about it. As much as people have made, we'll say, the education system has improved, stuff like that. You know, there have been more opportunities, and the parents are to get the full credit for that. The parents are the ones who build up these institutions. But I feel like maybe whereas I would have channeled some of my own personality and strengths maybe into, we'll say, I don't know, other activities when I was younger, I feel like maybe they're more dedicated now towards Kedusha. And the Rav explains that that's a Baal Tshuva. Someone who doesn't forget about his sins, but he uses those sins, l'tafkir chadash u'lishtamesh bo kedei lahagbir b'kirbo, is oz haga'aguim dekutsha haprozim b'kirbo. Meaning someone who uses his personality for the good, he's the one that Hashem transforms his bad stuff into mitzvos. Because what he's doing is using all of that energy, and the same energy that he used to use for bad, he's not using it for good. So in ideal, he's using his entire being to do good. So I remember I was once in the car with a chavrusa of mine, so it's a good little hint. And this chavrusa, we'll just say, did a lot of, we'll say, questionable activity in high school. And I said to him, we were chavrusas, we were serious talmidim in YU at the time. And I said, do you regret the things you did in high school? And, he was into alcohol, at a minimum, we'll say. And he said, no. I said, what do you mean, no? You're a Ben Torah. Why don't you, like, regret? He said, that's part of my personality, and that's who I am. Now, he didn't mean that he would go drinking again. What he meant was that I never changed. Meaning I'm the same me, and the same energies I used to apply maybe to inappropriate things, I now apply that nefesh that Hashem gave me to good things. And that's a very high madriga. Because sometimes it's easier to just press the delete button. Say, okay, what I did between the ages of 13 and 18, delete. And I'm going to the opposite extreme, and I'm never going to think about those years ever again. That's one level of tshuva. But Rav Soloveitchik would argue that's tshuva me'yira. You're deleting the past. On a higher level, you embrace those energies, those kochos that Hashem gave you, and you use it to build forward. So I thought that no one should get discouraged from tshuva, because although we're speaking about higher madrigos of tshuva, maybe that are not discussed often enough, we should all understand that Hashem wants us to be us. And we should be zoche to use all of the personality, all of the energies that Hashem gave us, and just use it for the good. And we should be zoche to improve not only our actions, but our midos, and maybe those midos that we think need to be deleted, should not be deleted, but rather used for the good. And that would be the ultimate level of tshuva. I'm going to stop the recording here, but I'm happy, obviously, to stay on and shmooze if anyone has any questions or anything along those lines.